The Bible reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is the word of God.
Seems appropriate. Lord, give me strength. Isn't that appropriate? Meg, that's what you prayed. Thank you. We don't have the words to say. Lord, give me strength. I think this is by far and away the most frequent prayer I pray. We all long for that strength to keep pressing on. It's hard enough, as we heard, just fulfilling any role as healthcare workers or educators or whatever your job is, or as a parent or as a child. It's hard enough. But it's even harder to be followers of Jesus in this increasingly complex and murky world of what that actually looks like. Lord, give me strength to keep pressing on. How do we find that strength to keep pressing on? Some of you might be familiar with this fantastically simple golden circle, as Simon Sinek calls it. He suggests that you start with why in the middle. Makes sense. Start in the middle. Enoch helped us start with why last week, didn't he? I really encourage you to listen to that talk if you haven't already. Why we can keep pressing on is, look with me from chapter 1, verse 8. We are both called and saved to live a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of God's own purpose and grace. So only by standing on this as our firm foundation can we be bold, as Enoch shared last week. And Paul sums up this thought here at the start of chapter 2 to his younger protege, Timothy. He says the ultimate reason why we can keep pressing on is because, Timothy, you don't stand alone in your faith. You're actually gifted strength, and you're standing on the shoulders of Jesus. You're not standing alone. Standing on the shoulders of your Savior. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So today from this passage, I want to move on to the next layer of this onion, to the next more practical question. In the face of enormous pressure that I believe we are all under, whatever our roles, paid or unpaid, how do we keep pressing on? How do we keep pressing on to practice the way of Jesus with boldness and holiness? Like the last few weeks, we'll do a Q&A at the end, so note any questions, and I'll put a QR code up the week. But what's different to the last few weeks is I'm going to put a 5-minute timer on it. I'm sorry. I like to fail, and I like to fail fast. So I've learned a lot of lessons from last week. This week, 5 minutes max, and let's enjoy reflecting together. Today, I'm going to preach a little bit like a pirate. What does that mean? How does a pirate speak? Arr, arr, arr. Here we go. Replicate, reflect, and remember. Terrible dad jokes aside, I'm going to come back to this imagery of a pirate in a second. But how about we pray first? Father God, as we come to your word today, please speak to us. I ask you'll give us willing hands to replicate and pass on what we discover. Lord, please give us soft hearts to hear and reflect on the insight that we believe you will bring us now. And Lord, please give us clarity of mind to remember. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's get practical. How can we press on to practice the way of Jesus? Our first R is replicate. That's our discipleship priority. Read with me in verse 2. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Do you recognize any familiar words here echoing through what Paul's saying? Does it ring a bell? Entrusting that leads to teaching, that leads to others entrusting and teaching others. What does that echo? Jesus' command, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, that his followers be disciples in order to make disciples who teach others to obey as disciples. So everything Paul's received, he's seeking to do the same to Timothy, passing on, and he's encouraging Timothy to do the same, pass on, just as we saw with the kids and Ben's relay before. Being with Jesus is where our discipleship certainly starts. But friends, our discipleship always, always overflows to do the works of Jesus. Pass it on. I promised I'd come back to the pirate idea. How do pirates live? In the movies or in the real world? Plenty of pirates. They actively search for treasure. They do whatever it takes to find that treasure. And when they find it, they do whatever it takes to keep that treasure for themselves, to consume it, to bury it or hoard it in whatever way. Then they press on and they look for more. I want to suggest that our culture is one of piracy. We are being subtly conformed to this culture of piracy. How? It feels okay because everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is sailing the same way. But the way of Jesus is anti-piracy. It's counter-formation. It's swimming against the very tide of our culture that says consume, get, and keep, hoard. Rather than claiming treasure for ourselves, our mandate as followers of Jesus is to give it away, to pass it on. Of course, financially, but of course, the gospel, the greatest treasure of all, pass it on. Just as we saw earlier in that relay, the runner's mandate in a relay is to pass it on. Carol's mandate was pass it on and pass the message on. Likewise for Christians. So what treasure or what things in verse 2 is Timothy to pass on? From chapter 1, a bit earlier that we saw last week in verse 13, it's a pattern of sound teaching that Paul has passed on to Timothy. So who is Timothy to pass it on to? Look with me there in verse 2. Reliable people, it's women and men alike. It's interesting, what's your measure of reliability? We're all products of our culture. What do we first think with reliability? Are they on time? Right? That's not what Paul's talking about here. It's far deeper. It's faithful integrity. Is this person trustworthy? They may or may not be on time. What Paul is encouraging here is for Timothy to find faithful believers who he can invest in and equip to be able to in turn share and teach others. So they need reliable character. But do they need reliable competence or skill? You might be surprised to hear no. Or not yet, at least. Notice this. This is huge. Qualified here is future tense. So they must first receive Timothy's teaching and discipleship. Isn't it incredible how quickly we attach the idea of academic study to this word qualified? Again, we're products of our culture. This idea of qualified here is to be competent, to be fit for purpose, whether or not you have a certificate or not. Discipleship, that means we multiply, means we invest in trustworthy people. We help them simply get fit for purpose, teaching them to follow Jesus so that they in turn can teach others. We don't need a theological degree. We don't need any special training. We just need to be intentional in finding practical ways that we can pass on what we've received, whether we received a lot or a little, pass it on. To do this in a healthy way, I reckon we all need a Paul, and we all need a Barnabas, and we all need a Timothy. What do I mean by that? You need a Paul, someone you trust, who teaches God's word, who models the pattern of sound teaching to you, of wholehearted Christian living to you, wherever God has placed you. They may be here in this room, or they may not be. They might be in a Roman prison, as in the case Paul is right now, in this letter. But even from a distance, they will keep modeling, they will keep teaching, and they will keep encouraging and passing on the faith to you. But having a Paul, I don't think, is enough. Everyone also needs a Barnabas. We see Barnabas, especially in the book of Acts, his name means son of encouragement, someone to encourage and spur you on in the faith. We can all be Barnabas to each other, can't we? Let's generously offer this gift of encouragement to one another. But if we only have Paul and Barnabases in our life, our faith will die out in a generation, won't it? Imagine if each of us could have one or two Timothy, not the book, the people. The people, someone that we're intentionally passing on in the faith to equip over a period of time so they in turn can pass it on to others. So the discipleship priority is to replicate, reproduce, pass it on. Pass on what we've learnt to our Timothys. But like in that relay, it was a beautiful, we weren't planning for this, but it's so easy to get busy, isn't it? Replicate, pass on. But we actually don't do the very next R and the R after that. Reflect and remember. So let's not just replicate, let's reflect. Paul shares three metaphors in verse 3 to 6, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And then in verse 7, he invites Timothy to reflect on what he's saying with his awesome, hopeful promise. I've sat with this for a month. Lord, give me insight into this. It's a beautiful promise anytime we come to God's word. Starting in verse 3, Paul has this really strange invitation. Look at it. Join with me in suffering. Oh, wow. Remember, Paul's in chains. He's not inviting Timothy to join him on a picnic here. Paul's life is so, so hard, yet he invites Timothy in. Come on, jump in with both feet. These three metaphors serve as really practical examples. How do we press on? How do we persevere when the going gets tough? In verse 3, be like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. A good soldier is loyal. They lay down their life. They shun distractions. They pay intense attention to their audience of one, their commanding officer. So friends, the implication here, Jesus is your commanding officer. Imagine if we started to ask this question every single moment of the day, every single moment we're on duty, which is, for us, 24/7. Is this something that will please my officer? Am I being loyal to the way he wants me to live? Or am I getting distracted by the civilian affairs, the way other people want me to live? Be like a good soldier. And in verse 5, be like a good athlete. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. So this starts by realizing you may not feel like this. I often hear about all the aches and pains we have. I share them. You're an athlete. Following Jesus is not a leisurely stroll or a passive spectator activity that we come and we sit and we listen. It's intense. Intentional training is needed, no matter what our age. Practice is needed, just like we saw in the whole Practicing the Way series. I remember when I was at school, I went to school locally, and my mates and I were dreading the cross-country race that took us around the streets of Waitara and Normanhurst. So we had a great idea. Let's take a shortcut through Bowden Bray Nursing Home. It was a super good idea that, including the lift that dropped us down to the next street, took 2 kilometres off our race. In our plan, we hadn't factored in, as we huddled and all 10 of us huddled into the lift, that we had our school uniform on. And this would give us away. And those aged care residents are sharp as anything, and they called and dobbed us in. There was no victor's crown. There was a really bad detention, and we were disqualified. Paul says, be like an athlete. Remember, there are no shortcuts. The goal is not the race itself. The goal is to run with integrity to receive the victor's crown. Be like a good soldier, be like an athlete, and verse 6, be like a hard-working farmer. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Have you ever met a lazy farmer? I haven't. They work all day, hard labor, long suffering. Their hard work is for a purpose, isn't it? They have a vision, they have a dream, whether or not it's reality or not, they have a dream to reap a harvest. Likewise, how we can press on as followers of Jesus is remember that it's super hard work, of course. But if we focus on the hard work, of course we're going to give up. There's a reward, there's a benefit, there's a harvest that we will reap. Soldier, athlete, farmer, all individually powerful metaphors, but what insights can we glean when we actually combine these three images together? How can it help us press on? If you think about it, all require faithful, hard work, dedicated, undistracted labor to keep the main thing the main thing. The vision needs to be clear. All of them involve hardship and suffering. Don't be surprised as followers of Jesus when we have hardship and suffering. But each of them hold a promise of reward. To quote an old theologian, C.K. Barrett, he says, "Beyond warfare is victory. Beyond the athlete's effort is the prize. And beyond agricultural labor is the crop." So how we can press on is by getting intentional replicating, passing the baton on, but get deeper reflecting. But there's one more R that circles back to our why. Even if our situation is hopeless, if we feel, like most of us, so exhausted, so stressed, or even maybe so constrained as if we're in chains and we can't do what we really long to do, we can still press on. How? When we remember the unchained gospel. What is this unchained gospel that we're to remember? Look with me in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Gospel means good news. It's Paul's good news story, and it's our good news story too. We are part of this good news story. Notice how the good news that Paul tells Timothy to remember is both who Jesus is and what he has done. Just right here in this small verse, verse 8. Remember the good news story about who Jesus is. He's the anointed one. That's what Christ means, the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the world, both fully God and fully man, the descendant of David. That testifies to his royal majesty. This is the King, the Christ King. And remember the good news story about what Jesus has done. Jesus was dead, very dead. He was crucified so that we can be forgiven. And remember that Jesus didn't just die. Jesus was raised from the dead so that all who trust in him will also be raised. That's a good news story that we're to remember. It's the same good news that Paul responded to and always preached. The gospel of the cross and of the empty tomb. That verse that Carol shared before from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. I was privileged to study at college under the legendary evangelist and preacher John Chapman, or Chapo, as he was affectionately known. Some of you would have met him. He was close to 80, this is 20 years, 15 years ago, when he gave this great advice to me and to my class. Remember two things. The first 50 years of following Jesus are the hardest. That's good advice. Okay, that's helpful. The second thing I want you to remember is when you look at yourself in the mirror every single morning, preach the gospel to yourself. Remember, because death did not defeat Jesus, hardship need not defeat you. Paul is saying no matter how hard it gets, no matter how restricted, no matter how chained up you become, in verse 9, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, God's word is not chained. The gospel of the risen Lord is unstoppable. Remembering this and remembering his mandate enables Paul to endure everything, anything, all things, whatever is thrown at him in verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Remembering the good news is how Paul could press on and endure any hardship. He was preparing Timothy for hardship by saying, here's a key tool in your toolkit. Remember, whatever you're facing, you can press on and endure everything. If you respond to and remember the good news about who Jesus is and what he's done. As I close, feel free to pop any questions or comments in this QR code or link, and I'll spend 5 minutes max, I promise, answering them. To lead us into prayer and worship, let's read this beautiful remnant of church history, where the trustworthy sayings were widely shared to help people remember the good news. From verse 11, here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This trustworthy saying is so theologically rich, it's worth another sermon or a Bible study in itself. And that's exactly what I've equipped you for. In the weekly news, you'll see a bunch of verses. Let's allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. There's some stuff, beautiful and interesting and challenging things in there. Just allow Scripture to speak into Scripture and dig deeper in your life group or individually. Leading up to our baptism services next week, and by the way, there will be a baptism here next Sunday morning, as well as at 6 o'clock, maybe at 4 o'clock. We really invite you to come and join us on a picnic in the afternoon. Baptism is such a beautiful way for us to publicly declare and live into this trustworthy saying, isn't it? In turning from sin, in dying with Jesus, the promise is that you'll actually come up and live with him now and forever. Baptism is simply saying, this is what Jesus has already done in my heart. It's not too late to explore being baptized. The tub's going to be full next week. Just chat with us today or early on in a week and we can have a conversation more about that. Last week, you'll see on the Padlet there on this QR code, we got some awesome questions about how do we actually put our faith and trust in Jesus? What a great question. If you've got that question or any question, please come and chat with me or chat to the person next to you. They're such honest, beautiful, great questions. They're the questions that we long to be able to help people explore. Wherever you're at, however long you've been following Jesus, for decades or days, how you can press on is simply remembering and responding to the fact that Jesus has already pressed on for you. Let's use this ancient trustworthy saying from the early church to close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can press on because you sent Jesus to press on for us, to even endure death on the cross so that we can live. Thank you that if, as a good soldier, we commit to die with him, we will also live with him now and forever. Thank you that if, as a good athlete, we endure in our faith, we'll also receive the victor's crown and reign with Jesus. Thank you that whether we feel like we're faithful, hard-working farmers or faithless city slickers, that you remain faithful. We remember the good news of Jesus with profound thankfulness. Thank you, Father, that you did the greater thing in sending Jesus to press on for us. So we ask you will help us do the lesser thing and press on in our faith and endure any hardship by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.